The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter. Jesus said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which our ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the bread from heaven. Amen. So, how did God feed you this week? What was your bread this week besides the actual food you put in your mouth? Yesterday, I stopped by a lemonade stand. Well, I thought it was a lemonade stand. He did have lemonade, but he also had this spinner made from a toothpick and melty beads, which is totally awesome. And he had these markers that he made from a kit, and I tried them, and they work. So I dug in the compartment where I keep some change in my car, because he wasn't really set up to take credit cards yet. And the young man running the store helped me count out a dollar for my melty bead spinner, and another dollar for two markers. And I didn't have enough money for lemonade after that, but that was okay because I didn't actually stop there because I was actually thirsty. I stopped there because someone stopped at my lemonade stand when I was a kid, and somebody stopped at my kids' lemonade stands when they were kids. There's some sort of cosmic lemonade stand unity that feeds us, and when you have time and a quarter or so, you stop. I also got to take some kids school shopping for school supplies, and I love school supplies. And I also happen to love those kids. Christine is starting kindergarten, so we got crayons and the blunt scissors and rulers and those awesome erasers that go on the top of your pencil when your eraser has run out. And we got a pencil box and we got some glue sticks, and the older kids had decidedly less exciting items like binders and paper and dividers, but still exciting all the same. I got to eat Wendy's with those kids. I got to laugh and chat, and it was Nelson's birthday, so Wendy is turned into a birthday party. I got to go to Greg's graduation from the police academy, and I got to sit next to Jeanette, and we got to be... And I sat next to Jeanette, and we got to be proud together. And we got to listen to 15 new police officers swear to protect us. And we got to meet his parents and his grandmother, and I got to share a meal with them. So God fed me in lots of ways this week, and I'm wondering, did you maybe see your grandchildren this week? Is that how God fed you? Or maybe you weren't near your grandchildren, but your children texted you a picture or a video of them, and that's the way you were fed from far away. Did you attend a live performance of anything at all? Or maybe you just watched it on TV, and is that how God fed you? When musicians or actors or athletes did their thing, did it fill you up with joy or excitement or just plain old awe? Were you so incredibly proud of someone you've never met on a stage or on a ball field? Did somebody make you laugh? Like a deep belly laugh that releases endorphins and makes you feel full? Did your cheek muscles hurt because it's been a while since you smiled that much for that long? Did you fill your lungs with air and laugh them out just so fast that you had to gasp for another breath? Did God feed you with laughter this week? Did you hear Aretha Franklin sing nearly every time you turned on the radio as the world paid homage to a talent who seemed to sing us into each next decade for the last several decades? Did you mourn the death of a woman you never met? Did you read a news article that made you cry? Did you read about flooding in India and more than 300 deaths? Did you feel anguish for God's children on the other side of the world? Did you hear that they don't expect the California fires to be completely contained for weeks, and it's likely that another will start before those are out? Did your heart reach all the way to the scorched hills of California and soot streak faces of firefighters? Did you lift a prayer for safety and stamina and strength for those who are on the other side of our country? There are so many ways God feeds us. And the thing is that sometimes we don't know what we need. We don't know the bread for which we are hungry. Jesus is the bread of life. And in this full life of ours, there are so many ways that he feeds us. And that which feeds us always unites us. For Jesus' life and message and love are all about unity. Do we know that we need to cry for California and India? Were we looking to be sad? Probably not. But we are longing for unity because it's how we're made. It's our actual truth. We long for unity even while we are captive to sin and keep drawing boundaries and building walls between us and them. So when we are united with a firefighter we have never met by our concern for their safety and stamina and strength, God is feeding a hunger we might not have even known we had. And when we experience unity with our grandchildren, God is feeding a hunger that we absolutely recognize. This bread of life feeds so much more than our physical hunger. The bread of life unites us. None of us deserve the love and sacrifice of Christ. None of us can earn a place at this table. None of us lives in perfect unity with others. None of us can claim to be free of the labeling of us and them. And yet, Christ does love and sacrifice for us. And yet, Christ does say, "Come, you have a place at the table." Christ says, "You are actually united with others because there are no others. You are one. You are united because I have already erased the boundaries and I've torn down the walls and I have made pointless your labels of us and them." In the Ephesians text today, Paul tells us to give thanks to God at all times and for everything in the name of Jesus. Every single Sunday, I stand at the altar and say it is our duty, our joy, and our right that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Holy Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then I pick up a piece of bread, the bread of life, and we remember together that the night Jesus loved and sacrificed for us was not just for us. It was for the sake of the whole world. It was for the sake of no more us and them. It was for the unity of all, and we take our place at the table each week, and we let God feed us Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.